Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Eliza message in the broadcast entitled Jesus Word to Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. Now, if you have any prayer requests, I'll pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer it for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you are calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages that the Lord has been sending to his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like making your prayer requests or your questions over the air, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com, and I will get back to you as well. Amen. So, without further ado, for those who's listening, hey, if you don't mind, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we have been blessed this day to assemble together in Jesus' name. And you said where two or three are gathered together that you will be there in the midst. So therefore, Lord, we know that you make good on your word. And therefore, we thank you for the presence of your spirit right now. Lord, our request to you is that you would shed light in areas that are dark. That, Lord God, that you would give us revelation to your word in the name of Jesus. I pray for those who are seeking truth that they may find it as they listen to the words that come through on this broadcast. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would open ears and eyes today in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to share the gospel, to share the word of God with those that are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on concerning the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. And for those who've been listening on the series I've been doing it on it, today, this Thursday, is also today. Amen. So, today's title is The Midnight Cry, The Holy Spirit Infilling, The Infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I begin this study on the series concerning the Holy Spirit, the first one I dealt with you about was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And as I start this series, I share with you guys that there's a work that the Holy Ghost do within the believer, and there's a work that he does when he comes upon the believer, okay? And first I, you know, dealt with y'all about the indwelling spirit, when he dwells and does a work within us, within the life of the believer, helping us to bear fruit, leading and guiding us, you know, amen. And so this section of the series is dealing with when the Holy Ghost come upon one. And this is dealing with the infilling, being filled to the overflow. But today we're going to start off in this section of the series. We're going to open up with a testimony concerning and dealing with Christ on this matter. And I want to say before I go any further that there are those who, and when I say those, I'm talking about professing Christians, that when you talk about the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they dismiss it. Okay, they don't think it's important. They show no interest. And some of them even go to a point where they just really kind of bash it. So today, we're going to, what I'm thinking about, and if the Lord say the same, you guys have been doing different type of series on different days. And after the day, I might come back with part two of this same one tomorrow and go ahead to finish it up before I go back into the other categories, like talking about the falling away of the church and everything other than that, because that come to me like today from what we're going to start on. I know that we're not going to be able to get this all concerning what I need to share with you guys today. And so what we're going to do, if you have your Bibles with you, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Amen. And we're going to go there. And for those of you who have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me? Because I like to put your eyes on what I'm speaking on. And I understand perhaps some of you may say, I don't have a Bible with me. I can understand that. So if you don't have a Bible with you, won't you just, you know, if you got pencil and paper, write these scriptures down. And perhaps when you go get your Bible or you go buy your Bible, that you'll be able to follow it in the scriptures as well. Amen. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 is what we're going to open with. And the word of God said, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye shall follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Now, I want to first and foremost turn your attention to verse 21, where we are told, and understand, Peter, let's get this straight again. And you know, it's sad that I have to keep saying this, but because of some things that's happening, I have to say this, that understand that Peter was not talking to everyone. He was talking to Christians. And like I said, there are some Christians, some, quote, church people, who likes to take the word of God and applying it to everyone, okay, including sinners, and saying God was talking to everyone when he wasn't. He was using Peter to talk to Christians. And he said, for hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Now, suffer for us do includes all Christian and sinners, but this message is specifically to Christians. He said, leaving us an example that we, that ye shall follow in his steps. Now, we're told here by Peter that Christ left us an example that we may follow in his steps. Now, of course, and one thing he's talking about is the suffering, what Jesus went through, the persecution. He's not talking about suffering sickness, people. Let's get that straight, too. Because you got some people out there think that you got to be sick and saying that you're suffering for Christ. Listen, Jesus, when you read Jesus, when you read the recordings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, any of you, remember this phone number is 515-605-9887. If any of you show me where Jesus walked around sick, point it out to me in the scriptures. Amen? You know, when we see this word suffer, just like when we see the word lust, when some people see the word lust, the first thing they automatically think come to their mind is sexual. And see, that's just part of it, okay? Well, for some of us as Christians, when we see the word suffer, we automatically thinking that you got to be sick. No. Christ didn't walk around sick. Now, he suffered for us. He went through the persecution, not just verbally, but physically. He went through and suffered where all our sins was put upon him. He went through and suffered in such a way. But, amen. But we want to understand that Christ, and please hear me on this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not give their recordings or writings for no reason. Okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John actually record what Christ said and did while he was here walking in the flesh. Amen? And so Peter is letting us know that in what he did, he left us an example to follow in his steps. Not follow in someone else's steps. Not follow in Buddha's steps. I know y'all hear me saying this a lot, Buddha, Elijah, Muhammad. I have to say this because too many of us as Christians, we are too scared to acknowledge or to proclaim without fear, straight up, to anybody that there is one true Lord, and that's Jesus, that you must follow. And we have become so scared that we would not even openly, in many cases, proclaim this to the world. Because the world tell us that, hey, you talking about this one Lord, one God, and Jesus is the only way, you're narrow-minded. And so we're so afraid of them calling us names and, quote, putting us in their little category box that we have allowed our mouths to go shut. Amen. And so when the Hinduists come up and they proclaim their God is the one, we shut up. When Elijah Muhammad, when the Muslims come up and proclaim Elijah Muhammad the one and Allah is the one, we shut up. When all these other religions exalt their gods, little g, demon gods, when they exalt their gods, what do? I'm talking about the Christian. Most of us what? We shut up. And then when there's the other Christian that will speak up, we as the other group of Christians who hiding, as my brother Lee said, hiding in the back in the closet, we now barking at the ones that really is standing. Tell them, say, you need to stop that. You're gonna run them away. You're gonna offend them. Amen. Well, you can say amen to old me. You can even say, I don't know. That's you. But that's the truth. This is why the devil is being more bold today, people. See, demonic manifestation, whether you believe it or not, it's going to become more and more open, okay? It's going to become more and more open. Amen. Why is Satan becoming more bolder? Because the church, and I'm talking about those that claiming to be believers, has gotten more scared. A lot of these big things that's going on in this world, the question is, where's the church? No, I'm not talking about the Pope. No, the Pope is not of God. I'm not talking about the Pope. See, when you know, some people, when you say the church, they automatically think the Pope, because the Roman Catholic Church have portrayed themselves to be the church that Christ left on earth. That ain't even scripture. But see, some of us who would not even study the scriptures, nor search it up, we come to accept what they say. So when the Pope come around, it's like God walking on earth. And that's how people fall at him like that. Just like the other Pope had folks bending down, kissing his finger. Amen. I'm talking about some Christians that should know better. We're down there kissing. And you go, wait a minute, man. At what point do your mind say, what's wrong with this? Amen. So Christ left us an example that we shall follow in his steps. And what he did, he moved on Matthew, Mark, and John to record his sayings and his acts while he was here in the flesh. Why? So we can feed upon it the example he left us and that we may follow in his steps. Okay? His steps. Not the steps of a quote man per se, but in the steps of Jesus Christ. Amen. He left us that example, people. And Peter is making sure that we know this. Now, of course, he goes on to say how he suffered by being threatened and reviled against, and he didn't revile back. That's in the suffering. But overall, he left us example that we should follow his steps. And what I am pointing you to is how Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one of their purposes of writing down or recording what Christ said and did when he walked in his flesh is so that we can see from what he did how we shall follow in his steps. Yes, the Lord, after he rose and resurrected, the Lord started talking to others like Paul and Peter right here and giving them the word. I'm not speaking against that. Okay? But especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who was actually there with Christ when he walked this earth in the flesh, recorded his saying and his doings. Now, so besides the suffering right here that Peter is alluding to or talking about where he was reviled against, he was threatened, and, you know, and all that, we want to also, let's look at the other example he left us that we should follow in. Amen? So, on that note, let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 3. Amen. Matthew chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to start at verse 13, and I'm going to read to verse 16, okay? Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 13 to verse 16. And the word said, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Okay? And lo, a voice from heaven, verse 17, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, Jesus comes to the baptism. John was baptizing to be baptized of John. Now, if you have read the recordings of not only Matthew, but Luke and Mark, you would notice that there was another group of people who also came to John's baptism to be baptized of him. One of them he forbade because there was no holiness about them. And another one he forbade because it was so much holiness about this person that John said, hey, I should be getting baptized by you. Well, we see here, as what we read, the one that was so full of holiness was Jesus, to a point that John said, hey, I need to be baptized by you. Okay? The Pharisees and Sadducees who came to the baptism to be baptized of John, John forbade them and then called them vipers, which is a venomous snake, okay? That's the type of spirit, a deceiving, poisonous spirit, unholy, that the Pharisees and Sadducees operated in. And John's like, I even refuse to baptize you, okay? I refuse. So Jesus comes, and John picks up that, hey, there's so much holiness here. You know, I should be baptizing you. And Jesus has suffered to be so now that it become us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. What? To be baptized. He said that it may fulfill or complete all righteousness. Now, once again, I want to say this before we go any further on the subject that we're dealing with. The Lord wasn't saying baptism is the only main thing. You understand that? Baptism is part of the plan of God, but it's not the plan of God, okay? It's part of it. You got so many churches that have made baptism like it is the plan of God. In fact, so many of them is not even concerned about you really becoming converted in your heart to Jesus. Yeah, they'll say a few words to you, but the main thing is to get you to become a member, and we do that through the baptism, okay? So you would see more stressing on the water baptism than you would be on conversion in your heart to Christ. This is why many of our churches are not just filled with people that say, but they are filled with people that are unsaved. And Jesus said in Matthew 13 that the wheat and the tares have grown together. Amen. This is one of the reasons. Because in the ministry, we weren't being the watchmen like we should. And see, Satan took notes. And he knew that many of us, all we was concerned about is getting members, because there's more money in the collection plate, more members you get, especially if there's more in the family you get, okay? So Satan had ample amount of time to study humans, and he looked and he saw that, hey, this church is all about just getting members. They really ain't caring about if, you know, this person is converted to Christ, they just want members. Okay, well, the devil said, well, I just move on them to, you know, to just baptize. Or I move on to people that's a candidate to whisper all these sweet nothings in their ear. Amen. See, this part of the kind of message that would get some offended, especially in the ministry, because they'd be quick to say, oh, well, I don't baptize nobody and sin. Okay, then. Really? You hold on to that, okay? See, that's what's going on among the Christian community today, because too many, the churches who claim to be of God have made sinners members. Now, when a sinner want to come and hear the word, we let them come and hear the word. But as to making them a member when they ain't really converted is a no-no, okay? It's a no-no. And some of you wondering why so much stuff is breaking out, quote, in the church, because you made this man a member, and you like, man, this man, like, he's a fire starter. And I ain't talking about it in a good way, neither. Okay? And so as ministers, we got to be very careful. Going on to what our topic is today. Jesus answered and said in verse 15, suffer it to be so now, but thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Okay? So what this is that Jesus received the infilling where he was filled to the overflow of the Holy Ghost. We know from the Word of God that it tells us that the Lord Jesus had the Spirit without measure, but he was filled to the overflow. Okay? That's one of the steps that he wants us to follow in, to be filled, to have the infilling, where we're filled to the overflow, where the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is going back to what I said when I first opened this broadcast, that you got some Christians, when you talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because, see, this word has, it has different words that refer to it. Sometimes it's called the infilling. Sometimes it's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the scriptures. Either way it go, when you tell certain Christians or talk to them about this particular subject, they show you quickly a lack of interest. Yeah. And see, Jesus, who is the greatest example, and told us through Peter in 1 Peter 2, that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. So if he received the infilling to the overflow, he wants us to what? Receive the infilling to the overflow, okay? But it's too many of you, and I'm talking about as Christians, who shows a lack of interest and think it is not important. But it is. Because as we go on this series, we're going to talk a little bit more concerning it. But it is important, people. The Lord does not have his Spirit doing particular or any kind of work for no reason. We tend to treat it like he does. Amen. I have talked to some Christians about the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the infilling, being filled to the overflow, and they was like ready to shoot me down. Some of them even gave an example. Well, I know some people that get drunk like they be talking in tongues. I said, you say that to say what? Are you discrediting? What? Listen, I can see, people, if I gave you something that wasn't scripture. In fact, I can see if I gave you something that was not established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. But if it's established in scripture, why are you speaking against it? I'm talking to you, Christian, that's listening. You that, and some of the Christians, when this happened, when you talk on this subject, they are so quick to shoot it down, okay? Very quick to shoot it down. So I especially want to ask this question to you. Amen. Amen. Now, here's the thing. The Lord want us to follow in his steps. Right here, what we're reading in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus, after you were baptized, he received the infilling to where the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where the Spirit was upon him. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And Peter told us, he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. So once again, why is it, okay, that my Christian brothers and sisters that is against the infilling? Why is it when it comes to this, you, some of you that's really against it, you downshoot it as soon as it's spoken on? Why is it? Like I said, if it was something where that the scripture doesn't support it, that I was giving that to you, then I can understand you speaking against it. But when I'm giving you scripture, and not just one witness, but giving you more than one, then what is it? Now, it's a couple of things that come to me that, you know, gives why that some of us as Christians, some of my Christian brothers and sisters are so quick to shoot it down, okay? Amen. But I want to go into a third witness concerning Christ, an example, a second witness, rather. Let's go to one of God's books called called The Record of Nephi, and it's 1 Nephi chapter 11. Now, this is Nephi, who is a servant of the Lord, who was over here on this continent. And remember, as I've been sharing with you guys, that he was of the group, his dad was Lehi, and he was of the group who was of the house of Joseph, who was the house of Israel, whom the Lord led over here to this continent that we know here as America. Oh, yeah. And, amen. And I want to read to you what this angel had visited him, because his dad, which is Lehi, had been given a vision or a dream. I forgot which one it was, a vision or a dream that God was showing him. And so Nephi, whose heart was tender toward the Lord, was inquiring and asking the Lord about things that his dad had seen. Well, I want to read here in what is called the first book of Nephi, chapter 11, verse 27. This is one of God's books, the Record of Nephi. And remember, I share with you guys, the Nephites were the people of God over here on this continent, and how God dealt with him. Now, I want to read to you what was revealed to him. He said, "And I look and beheld the Redeemer of the world, of which my father has spoken. And I also beheld the prophet, which should prepare the way before him. And the Lamb of God went forth and was baptized of him. And after that he was baptized, I beheld the heavens open, and the Holy Ghost come down out of heaven and abode upon him in the form of a dove." Now, the first thing I want to run by you on this is that this was given to Nephi before Christ came in the flesh. I want to say that again. This was given to Nephi before Christ came in the flesh. Just like when you go to the Bible, there were some things given even to Isaiah concerning Christ before he came in the flesh. But what the Lord was doing, he was showing that he deal with more than one nation. See, God didn't just reveal everything, quote, to the Jews over there in Jerusalem. He revealed things to people over here on this continent, like the Nephites, okay? Why did he do that? Because remember God's protocol, the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. And see, God is not all about trying to make somebody big-headed. So he ain't going to just deal with, for example, you got different Christians here on this earth in different parts of God's vineyard, okay? God is not going to just deal with one group of Christians and all the others in throughout his vineyard, he ain't going to deal with them. You know, if he just dealt with one, that one would become so lifted up in pride. It ain't even funny. Amen. So I'm going to, I have a emergency to come up here. I'm going to cut the broadcast short, but glory be to God. Thank God for all you listening. And may the Lord bless you and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.